Stress is an inevitable part of life, but how you perceive and approach it can make all the difference to your well-being, both physically and emotionally. Whether it's juggling family responsibilities, work pressures, personal struggles, whatever it is, your mindset plays a crucial role in shaping your responses. And today, I'll explore the concept of stress and share with you how to view what you think stresses you out so differently that it significantly influences how you navigate life's challenges. I'll also share an exercise that I want you to try out, and I know these words would play in the intro, but let me give you a heads up. Grab some writing materials and get ready for it. Hey, sister friend, welcome to the Shades of Trauma Healing podcast. Do you want to overcome the wounds and impacts of childhood trauma that are holding you back in life? Do you want to get unstuck, begin thriving, and confidently living God's best in all areas? I'm Jenielle, a certified clinical trauma specialist, life coach, trauma thriver, and most of all, a daughter of God living loved and on purpose. In this podcast, I'll share trauma education, healing strategies along with biblical applications and motivational stories to support you in your journey toward trauma healing and thriving. So grab your journal, settle into your favorite spot, and let's begin. When I first learned to view stresses the way I will explain to you today, all credit going to the Arizona Trauma Institute, it was a bittersweet experience, and you'll see why when I go through the exercise. The truth is, it turned out to be a game changer because now I have a better understanding of what causes my day-to-day stress, and the fact is that I have way more say in what happens and how I respond. And that took me from a place of feeling at the mercy of things in life and gave me back a sense of autonomy. Have I piqued your interest? I am so excited about this. I hope that when I'm through sharing, you would feel the same way too. Okay, so this is where your writing materials will come in handy. Get out a piece of paper and I'm going to ask you a few questions and you will need to write down the answers. If you're driving or working out or doing something where your hands are not free, you cannot write, no worries. You can process the answers in your mind, but be sure to come back and write them out later. I promise you it makes a difference when you write it out. So here is the question, and then I will tell you how to write it on the sheet. So the question is your life stressful? I know. I can hear you thinking and saying, yes, Jenielle, of course it is. Do you even have to ask? I hear you and I believe you, so much so that I'm going to explore this further with you. On your piece of paper, I want you to create two columns. Label one column cause, C-A-U-S-E, and label the other effect. Then leave a space in the middle between the two columns because I'll be asking you to write something in the middle of that space later on. So you can pause me if you need to get this done. I trust that you've got that done. Now, under your cause column, tell me all the things that stress you out on a daily basis. And I know some of you may be able to write pages and pages of points, but for the sake of this exercise, list just about 5 to 10 points. I'll give you an example. So in the column under cause, let's say the cause of the stress is, for example, work. In the effect column, I'll write anxiety. Another cause may be financial situation. And let's say the effect is overthinking or comfort eating. Another one under cause of stress, let's say spouse, partner. And under effect, let's say sadness, fear, maybe hopelessness. Last one for the example, under column cause, traffic. Effect, irritability or anger. You get the idea, hopefully. So if you need to pause to finish that up, please go ahead, do so. Get your cause of your stress. You can always go back and add more later if you want. You made your list and you might be having some mixed emotions about it. You may be feeling a sense of helplessness because you're thinking, I need this job to pay my bills, or my finances are so bad, I don't know when I'm going to pay off these loans. My spouse is my spouse. What can I do about that at the moment? We're together and I just have to suck it up and deal with whatever is happening. Here is the thing. As long as you believe the cause you've listed above is the reason for the effects that you experience, you will continue to have those effects. Yes, you heard me right, and I'll repeat it. As long as you believe the cause of your stress is your job, your spouse, finances, traffic, you will continue to have the effects such as anxiety, sadness, irritability, as listed on your sheet. And I'm using the example that I had. The truth is, the causes you listed, the causes that I've listed, are not the reasons why you have the effects you have. Wait with me here. Here is why. I talked about the anterior cingulate cortex before. We'll call it ACC for short. It's that fingernail-sized area of your brain that acts like a satellite dish, and its main job is to detect threats in your environment, and it is always on the lookout for signs of danger or things that could hurt you. The ACC is actually supposed to pick up good signals as well as the signals of threat. But if over time, because of trauma, you've experienced so much that the ACC just recognizes it needs to protect you so much, it goes into overactive mode. It gets atrophied, it shrinks, and it does not operate at its full size. When this happens, it is dysfunctional and it does not work well. It uses less sensory input from the present to tell you if you are safe. What it does instead is rely on past experiences of danger to inform your body if you are safe in the moment or not. The ACC can recall a past threat and make it look like it's happening in the real present time. And then it sends messages to your nervous system to set off a trauma response. And this is where you get the effects you've listed above on the paper. So let me demonstrate. I'll be asking questions for you to think about, but I'm really going to be asking it to myself to use it as an example to demonstrate and show you what I'm talking about. So, providing you're not in any actual physical danger right now, this is a question I want you to answer. Look around you and answer this question. Are you safe right now? In this present moment, are you safe? I'm asking myself this question, and as I look around, I'm in my office. The exterior doors are locked and I am alone, but my mind immediately thinks someone could break in and hurt me. Then I think, well, there could be an earthquake and the building could fall in on me. Or even scarier, there could be a gas explosion and I'll be burnt up. No joke. I practiced this before the recording so that it would flow well, and that is where my mind went. My ACC was on high alert. But where did those thoughts actually come from? Because I mentioned that the ACC relies on past painful learning and they see it as a perceived threat in the present, and then it sets off a nervous system sympathetic response, and you can have effects such as anxiety, fear, and worry, etc. But where are my thoughts coming from? Do I have any past painful experiences of my space being broken into and me getting hurt by an intruder? Have I ever been in an earthquake where I was hurt? Have I ever been in a gas explosion? The answer to all of these questions is no. I do not have any past painful experiences of these things, so why did that come into my mind as a thought that these things could happen? Where did my mind go? Here is the kicker, my friends. The ACC not only recalls your past painful events to tell us that you are in danger, it also draws from everything scary and disturbing that you ever see or hear in the world or in the media. Do you understand what that means? You can be experiencing a trauma formation by witnessing societal and worldwide trauma and danger, even though you're not living it out firsthand. So, somewhere in my viewing history, whether it's TV or media, I must have seen something where an intruder broke into another person's house, and I felt the distress as I imagined that that could happen to me. I have certainly seen enough shows where people got hurt in earthquakes and had gas explosions. You know, Hollywood movies these days, they just love explosions, right? My poor ACC recalled those experiences as if I had experienced them and brought them up in the present as a threat or danger to me. This is serious. This is not the focus of the episode, but it just goes to show you how important it is to censor what you take in. So can you imagine watching the news day after day, seeing the violence against people of color, for example, marginalized people, religious hurts being perpetrated across the globe? Looking at that, seeing it, experiencing it through secondary lens, they're all being filed away into your mind. And who knows, because everybody's different and every experience is different, who knows what your ACC is going to pull up as a reference to danger. Okay, so with that explanation in mind, let me ask you the question again. Are you safe right now? And again, I will answer it for demonstration purposes. If I look around my space, not thinking about what happened to me in the past, what I saw, what I may have experienced, if I'm simply looking around my space, using my five senses to take in what I am seeing right now in this present moment as I'm recording this podcast episode, I am safe. The things that I can see, hear, touch, taste, and smell indicates to me that I am not in any actual danger. I am safe. What about you? On most days, we are not sitting around long enough to think like this because the ACC is on automatic. It's left to its own devices. And you have to wonder, how many times a day do you perceive a threat to your well-being? How many times does your body respond in a way that indicates, oh, there's something wrong? It could be your heart races, your muscles constrict. Some people hunch their shoulders, clench their jaws, their toes, their hands. Respiration increases. People start sweating. You have intruding thoughts, thinking of worst case scenarios when normal natural events happen. When you find this is happening, the correct response is to relax every muscle in your body and get into a comfortable physical state. The goal is to let your body act like if it's jello. Just relax everything. Let gravity just pull your body down. Think of what pudding or jello looks like and just soften into that relaxed state. And most importantly, breathe evenly and deeply in through your nose and slowly out through your mouth. When people are in danger and the ACC is on high alert, people don't breathe, they hold their breath. But by this deliberate action of breathing, you signal to your ACC, I'm okay, you can relax, you can calm down, and relaxing the muscles in your body, unclenching your jaw, dropping your shoulders, relaxing your toes, also signals a fluidity and a sense of safety. This is part of self-regulation that keeps the stress hormones from taking over, shutting down your executive function, and it keeps your thinking brain online. I want to be really clear here. I am talking about doing this with past painful experiences and perceived threats. If you're actually in any present danger, the only correct response would be to do whatever you have to do to get yourself safe and to survive. By getting back to the exercises, we're talking about stress and how the body responds to perceived threats and past painful events. And just as a reminder, stress is too much energy in the body that shuts off the thinking brain and sends you into some type of trauma response or the effects that you listed on your sheet. Now that you have created this sheet, when you're in a calm, cool, collected mindset, I want you to take that list and begin looking at what are the threats you are thinking of or experiencing as you process the causes you have in the cause column. In the example that I give, the first stressor for me that I wrote in the example was work. So you would ask something like, what about work? What about my relationship to work is causing me to react in such a stressful way? Is it the job duties? Is it the environment? Is there someone at work that is just triggering me? This is not to blame the other person. This is to dissect the issue. Look at your own history, your past experiences with work, with people, with the job duties. Examine what you believe the threat to be as you think about it and based on how you respond to it. When you get to the perceived threat, practice relaxing, the deep breathing that I mentioned, and even some self-soothing exercises like I mentioned in episode 10. Continue to do this for each of the causes you've listed, and you may need to take this to therapy or process it with someone else because a lot of times our beliefs are so ingrained, we just act from it without understanding why. Go through your list one by one and see if you can pick out what it is you're reacting to. Is it a belief? Is it a thought? Is it a past painful experience that is causing you to react based on the environment? You can't control the environment, but you can control what is being wounded in you or triggered in you, and you can do the work to heal yourself. Which brings me to the bittersweet that I mentioned at the beginning. I said when I learned this exercise, it was a bit bittersweet for me. The bittersweet was that I could no longer walk around blaming external factors for how I was feeling, saying work is stressing me out, traffic is stressing me out. The truth of the matter is, I was responding in a stressful way to traffic, to work. The language puts the blame on something outside of myself when I say work stresses me out, and that can leave you with a sense of feeling hopeless. I have no control over this. And you're right, you can't control anything outside of yourself. The sweet part is, I got to look at myself. It was hard. I say sweet, but it was hard. I had to take responsibility for how my body and my mind and my processing was responding to the environment. But it was good because that is something that I can change. Do triggers still happen? Sure, they do. But I respond differently to them now. And I tell you what, I much prefer being able to self-regulate and direct my emotions and reactions rather than just being triggered and set off by different external factors that I have no control about. And you can do that too. You don't have to be at the mercy of life the way that you are now if you're constantly stressed out or triggered by events. You can begin addressing your ACC and how your body responds to past perceived threats in a way that frees you to feel safe in the moment and not constantly living in a stressed out body. So give this exercise a try and see what it's like for you. You may be in a position where you can process this all on your own, but as always, if you need to go through it with someone, that's okay too. Reach out for help and do what you need to do to take care of yourself. And if you want to process together, join me over in the Facebook community, Heal Childhood Trauma. You can email me also. And I invite you to subscribe to become a podcast insider to receive weekly email updates on the podcast and any announcements as they are released. And speaking of announcements, I do have one for you. The Shades of Trauma Healing podcast is doing something new. I'm only going to pique your interest here today, so I invite you to look out for the full announcement this Thursday, May 2nd. It will be released same time as the Monday episodes. And yes, it is going to be on a Thursday, so look out for it. I will share with you what's happening with the weekly episodes. We're having a slight change, but not a bad change. It's a good change. So look out for the details this coming Thursday, May 2nd. I will see you then. Before you go, sister friend, did this podcast episode encourage, inspire, or teach you something new? If so, would you be so kind as to share it with another friend who needs help to overcome her childhood trauma? And don't forget to hop over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and a written review for the show. This way, the show can reach more sisters who need to hear it. Thank you for listening, and know that I am cheering for your healing. I'll be back next week, so until then, take time to breathe. and be blessed.